Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 18 through 21. And I've entitled this morning's message, Called to be Ambassadors. We are called to be ambassadors. How many believe without a shadow of a doubt, you know that you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? And so we're going to understand what an ambassador is. Let me just say this. It's an intricate, vital position in the kingdom of God. And guess what? God chose you and me to be ambassadors. Amen? You know, I remember my father was in the military for 22 years. And every now and then, we would, I believe it was once a year, all the families that were struggling during Christmas time, we would all go on the Baumhahn Richard. It's a big carrier. And all the families that, you know, were needy, and we were needy. There was 11 of us. And so we would all go to during Christmas time, and there would be ambassadors of the military there, and they would bring gifts to all the families. You know, some of us got new tennis shoes, and some of us got a toy, which got broken the next day. There was 11 of us, so. But we are thankful to get a toy, amen, and a pair of shoes and new pants. But they represented the Navy very well. I remember as a child, I remember the things that they said and how they truly represented the military. Well, guess what? We are in a type of army. Can I get an amen? Oh, we are in the army of the Lord. And God, we're called to be ambassadors. So, with that, are you there at the Word? Okay. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we always have the Word of God right up here on this screen. And let's read this. And it reads, Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let me pause there. What does that mean? That means as an ambassador, we are to minister not only to the body of Christ, but also to a dying world. That we would be used by God, that God would reconcile them back to him. Can I get amen? And there are many people in our lives we still need to be reconciled to, especially before Jesus comes. So let's go back to the word here. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an ambassador for Christ. Amen? Not for any other military entity, but for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Did you see what he's pleading through us? He's imploring us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So it was the actual work on the cross that allowed us, sinful human beings, to be reconciled with the Holy God. You know, a lot of us can't fathom that. because we wake up every morning by God's grace, and throughout the course of a day, impure thoughts will come, covetousness will be there, things that we shouldn't look at, and sometimes we glance, all these things that fail us in this human body. But yet, despite of that, God still chose you and I to be reconciled to him by faith. Isn't that something? We should be, wow, God, thank you. We should be so excited to be saved. Knowing, because Jesus is the only one that can show us our sin. Can I get amen? He's the only one that can show us our sin. I like to say our BC years before Christ, we had no clue we were sinful. This is just the way we were. The Bible says we're formed in our mother's womb, shapen in iniquity. We're born in sin. Okay, King David spelled that out. But as we started growing from an infant to a toddler to a youth to an adult, until that day came where God called you to himself, we had no clue that we would be ambassadors for him. If you would have told me that 33 years ago, I would have said, what are you smoking? But we are saved, sanctified, justified. And now he sees us in our glorified state in the future. And so right up here, saints, look at this. We all impact others whether we're aware of it or not. Did you know that? You impact others. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, the degree varies according to each individual's sphere of influence and opportunities. But all of us, in one way or another, we touch people's lives, good or bad. We touch lives. So always remember this, in our sphere of influence, sister, there's people in your life I may never meet in my lifetime, and vice versa. But you have a sphere, every one of us has a sphere of influence, and God is using us to impact them. Can I get amen? That one day they would come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only Christians, though, can have a spiritual impact for Christ, saints of God, because we alone are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of promise. So let's look at this right up here again. Look at this. Jesus' characteristics of an ambassador. We're going to break this down. We have to understand, what is an ambassador? Is it someone that wears a military outfit? Is it someone that has gone to college? And you were educated in this realm? No. No. All of us are equal at the cross. Amen. But through time, God raises up each and every one of us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We go from faith to faith, glory to glory. That's why it's important to be plugged into the Word of God. Can I get amen? This is where we'll grow. So let's look at one of the characteristics. Jesus, he spelled it out perfectly. It's right up here in Matthew 5:13. Look at this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be what? Thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And then he goes on with another characteristic. Okay, so salt. We're going to break this all down. We're going to look at salt. But then he says this right up here in Matthew 5:14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, my friends, being light is very illuminating, not to our own spiritual self, but others who are walking in darkness. You see, the people that God allows you to come across in life. We all know those. You know them. I don't have to spell it out, but you know those who are not walking in the light. They're walking in darkness. Can I get amen? And so when you walk into their room or you come into their sphere, they're going to see a light shining bright. Why? What is it? It's the Spirit of God that lives within us, and they're going to see a transformed life right before them. You don't talk like they used to talk. You don't dress like you used to dress. You don't hang out with those who chew and do all these things like you used to do. Can I get amen? No. They're seeing something different now. And what are they seeing? They're seeing the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God that's now upon your life. And we cannot boast in it. Can I get amen? There's nothing to boast about here in this walk with Christ. Why? It's because it's what he has done. And he has called us to the cross. He has saved us. And so for me, knowing, you guys all know my testimony, I am forever grateful to him, because he showed me my sin and gave me an opportunity to repent and to fall on my face before him and to cry out for mercy. And so let's look at this. You are the salt of the earth. The salt. Saints of God, salt is different from the substance it touches. And the same is true for believers. We're different and separate from the world we impact. I hope you know that. You see, I love what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. It's right up here in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Look at this. He says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is what? Unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. How many are so blessed to know that he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Oh, come on. We are not the same people anymore, praise God. And there's nothing we can do to pat ourselves on the back. No, it's not about that. Can I get amen? It's not about that. It's all about Jesus and what he has done. Praise God. You know where you were when he found you and how he had mercy. He loved you to the cross. He's not up there in heaven waiting to beat you with a bat on the head. Oh, here's one I need a swat right now like a fly. No, he drew us tenderly to the cross. Can I get an amen? It was by, the Bible says, it's by his loving kindness that I drew you to myself. This is what I love about God. You know, we don't have to try to figure this out, because it's already disclosed in the Word of God on how we came. That's right. How he drew us. He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. Oh, come on. You know how you used to roll. Oh, we all had our own issues, right? Praise God. And so, saints, in a society characterized by sin, our holy and purified lives stand in stark contrast to this dying world. This is why they need us. And guess what? We need them too, because we love them. Yes. Can I get an amen? We can't just get saved. Yeah, okay. I'm not. No. No. We got to love them. Just like Jesus loved us, we got to love them. That's right. And whatever you see them doing, guess what? You used to do that too. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips anymore. Come on. You see, God will always do something special in us. And I love how Paul, you know, the Holy Spirit is the only entity that we know that can show us what we were made of and what he is doing in our life, past, present, and future. Can I get amen? And so let's go right up here. Here we go. Let's go right up here to Romans chapter 12. Look at this. This is Paul. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by what? The mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's our reasonable service, is to now be transformed by God. Look at this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing what? Of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. You know, the word of God, you know what Bible means, right? You know what the acronym for Bible? Huh? I'm gonna let that stew for a little bit. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? Basic instructions before leaving earth. And this is why God gave us his word. That we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That God will do something mighty. And I see many of us, and I know a lot of us are not here right now, but those who attend here, I'm seeing God doing something beautiful in your lives. Being transformed by the word of God. Let's look at this right up here. We relate to the world as salt does with the substance it touches. And what are the things salt does? Salt flavors. You know, there are some people that just love to pour that salt on. I said, well, if you love that much salt, just put a saladito in your mouth and just. I love salt, but not too much. But it has the power to turn what is tasteless into something enjoyable. Can I get an amen? It does. In the same way we bring, you and I, we bring a flavor to this world to touch people's lives, that they can see a true difference in our life, that they too can walk with that flavor that God has given us. Can I get an amen? Also, look at this. Salt preserves. Praise God. In the Roman times, salt was a very valuable commodity. Why? Because it was the only means of preserving food. Christians have a similar preserving influence on a corrupt world. I hope you know that. Our witness can help turn an unbeliever to Christ and preserve them from the decay of sinful choices. You ever intervened in love and prayed and shared with someone that was stuck? They were just stuck. And you ended them down the road, leading them to Christ. That's but the grace of God. That's God's mercy, amen? Look what else it does. Salt does this. It penetrates. It goes in. You know, if you're marinating some food and you put a good rub on it, what penetrates underneath that first layer is salt. It goes in. And the Holy Spirit uses our godly example and witness to drive truth into the heart in such a way, saints of God, that permeates the entire person. Amen. Your influence does it. Your lifestyle does it. Did you know it causes them to want what you have, and yet they don't know how to say that. But they see a difference. Praise God. Because you know what salt does? If you have too much salt, which for some people love it, it does this. Salt creates thirst. I want some water. Because I'm thirsty now. Because of the salt. Saints of God, believers are examples of spiritual transformation. You and I, we're not the same like we used to be. Can I get amen? The joy, peace, and contentment that Christ gives us are attractive to thirsty souls whom the Spirit is drawing to the Savior. And he wants to use you. He wants to use me. Can I get amen? And he has, and he is, and he's going to. You have to believe God for all things. And sometimes, saints of God, God draws people to Christ through the quiet means of just observation. Someone just, you know what, may not even say anything, but they're observing your life. And to themselves, they're saying, I want that. Because I knew that person. I knew who they were. I knew what they were in. And now they're not anymore. What you're doing, you're making a lasting impact, an impression upon them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, there's nothing that we can boast about.
Right.
It's but the grace of God. And what else salt does? It does this. Salt is quiet. It's quiet, right? When you put it on, it's quiet. And so sometimes people are drawn to Christ in the quiet means, as they see our godly behavior, gracious responses take place, patient endurance, and their hearts may be open to the gospel. How many of you want to see that in people's lives? Amen. Here's the key. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's nothing that we can beat him on the head with.
That's right.
Listen, never kind of ram the Bible down someone's throat. You love them to the cross. You bless them. You help them. We had a great testimony this morning before we came out by Pastor Rod, who prays for us. This one lady was there at the checkout, and she helped him with his groceries. And Pastor Rod and Sister Marietta, they're in their mid-80s. And then she waited outside to put the groceries in their car. You know, we don't know if she was a Christian or not, but I do know one thing. That demonstration was Christ-like.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? And so, salt heals. It heals. As salt gives relief to a sore throat, we are so called to offer healing to a broken world. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Compassion, kindness, and a listening ear let hurting people experience Christ's love through us. Praise God. Praise God. But in the passage that we just read, Jesus is warning. There's a warning that he gives us through the word of God. And that's found in Matthew 5:13. Look at this. We read this, but I want you to catch this. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What does that mean? That means, saints of God, retain your testimony. Can I get amen? Retain your testimony. Just because we got saved, we don't rest on our laurels. Can I get amen? Every day we wake up by God's grace, and it should be, oh God, thank you for another day. Oh God, use me this day. Oh God, who can I share you with? Oh God. Those of you that punch in a card from 6 to 5 in the morning, or maybe you work out of home, or maybe you homeschool, whatever the case may be, there's people in your life, can I get an amen, that you will impact. And ask God, say, God, use me, God. You see, in those days, during the Roman times, salt was collected from an evaporated seawater. It was scraped up from the ground along the impurities. If there were too many impurities, the salt became tasteless and useless. Sin has the same corrupting influence on our ability to impact those around us for Christ. So in other words, God is saying, don't play in sin no more. Because you will not want to share Christ with others if you're dabbling in that area. What happens then is you've allowed an impurity to come in to mix with your salt. And it'll lose its impact. Can I get amen? So when a believer tolerates sin, he becomes useless to the Lord. And those who become like the world have nothing different to offer them. This is why Jesus gave us that warning about what we just read. Look at that. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So God is saying to us, walk in his ways. You know, before we speak, before we do, take it to God. Make sure you're in the will of God, not outside of the will. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so Matthew 5:14 says this, you are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot what? Be hidden. Praise God. Praise God. Now, light is special. Aren't you so blessed that we don't live in a world of darkness? Right now, this whole room is lit up. We can see clearly. Walk outside, the sun is out. We can see clearly. But have you ever walked in a room that was pitch black? And you're like, oh, I just stubbed my toe. Oh, yeah. Well, look what 1 John says right up here in the Word. This is the message what we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. Say that with me. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Praise God. There's no darkness in God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what does it say? We lie and do not practice the truth. This is the litmus test. God knows our heart. Listen, I look what my older brother used to say. He goes, you know, for a long time before he actually became born again, he would come to church, you know, say praise the Lord with everybody. But in his layman's terms, he would say, I would come and fake the funk. What does that mean? Play the part. Yeah, praise the Lord. God bless you. Go home and kick the dog and yell at the wife, or vice versa. There was nothing there. Look at this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with what? One another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you so blessed to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Without the blood, without Christ, we would be men and women most miserable. And so, saints, now Jesus declares those who have trusted him as Savior. He says this, once again, let's look at that. You are the light of the world. And this is what he adds. He goes, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. That's the key right there. That we wouldn't receive nothing. We don't deserve none of this. The righteousness that God has implied on us is through faith. And now, this is what I love about, and it's mind-boggling, even to our unsaved friends. They say, well, you know what? You're no different than me. You know, I knew what you used to do. And, you know, and they have every right to remember what you used to do. Okay? I get that. But you need to understand this, that when God the Father looks down, guess what? He doesn't see our sin no more. He sees the blood that was applied by his son. And God now has declared us righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed upon us. Can I get amen? By faith. Aren't you so blessed to know that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but the grace of God, the mercy of God, that Christ has come into our life, and we are called to be an impact to this world. Can I get an amen? Our light isn't our own, but rather a reflection of Christ within us. Always remember that, Christ who lives in us. God uses that light to draw what? People to himself, not to us, so that he alone will receive all the glory. Can I get an amen? Listen, we cannot try to obtain any glory in this. God wants it all. And we are to surrender to that mindset. God, to God, it should be from our mouth. To God be the glory. To God, everything is the glory. My life is for your glory. Can I get an amen? And when we understand that, guess what? We won't get tripped up with our own thoughts, our own heart, because our heart will deceive us. Jeremiah spelled it out in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart, our own heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. Who can know that? He says, I, the Lord, search the hearts of men and women. You remember back when Saul, King Saul, back in the times of David, when they were looking, God wanted a different king now, because Saul would just walk in rebellion. And so the prophet came
to Jesse's house.
Can I get amen? He goes, I need to see all your sons, because God called me to this home. One of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel. So he went up and down all of them. And the father was saying, I know it's this one, because this was a man of war. I mean, one of the sons, and he was yoked. He was probably 6'5", you know, battle tested. Oh, yeah. He probably had that. Yeah, he was probably tatted up, the whole work. You know, just looked like a warrior. And the key was that the 12 stones that were on the prophet's chest would light up if that was the anointed one. So he went through all the sons, and I know the Bible doesn't say this, but I wonder if he checked his batteries to see if they were on. No, supernaturally it would have lit up, right? So he goes, I'm sorry, but these are not the men. Not one of them. Do you have another son? Oh, yeah, the little ruddy kid, who's always probably cleaning his snots. He's out there tending the sheep. Well, take me to him. And he went, stood before him, and all 12 stones lit up. Hallelujah. He's the one. He's going to be the next king. You see, man looks at the exterior, but God looks at the heart. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God looks at the heart. And he's looked at our heart. Hallelujah. And there was nothing we could do to get into the kingdom of God. There was nothing we could add to it. No. He saw in the future that your heart would be like King David, a heart after him. After God, with all of our faults and failures, we've all come short of God. You've probably been told all your life, oh, you're no good, and you're not going to make it, and you know, you're worthless. But God said, I see your heart.
Thank you, Lord.
You may have siblings that are very educated. They're on top of the corporate ladder. And here you are. You were thrown out to the curb. And God said, no, but that's the one I want to use. I want to use you. They may call you all good for nothing, but I'm going to make you great in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise. God wants to use us. And his position toward us is immovable, unshakable. He made a sovereign choice with our lives, and nothing can thwart the plan of God for us. Can I get amen? The gates of hell cannot prevail. Praise God. Look at this. We impact the people around us just as light does what? Darkness. Why? Because light is clear and pure. Our lives should be characterized by purity and clarity. The person we are in public ought to see the same person we are in private. Can I get amen? We can't put on a show outside of the box. We got to be a light in the box. Why? Because this light reveals what's hidden in the darkness. Listen, the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Look, there's cracks and crevices in our life where there's still a little darkness there. But you know what? It's not for us to point them out on one another, it's for God to show you personally what they are so that you would surrender them to him. Can I get an amen? Because I could do this all day long. What? And then there's three looking right back at me. Always remember this. Before you go minister to someone, make sure your heart is right. And you're not going there with any other agenda other than to help them, build them up, love them, point them to the word, point them to the cross. But there should be no other agenda. Can I get amen? Because there's a warning that if you come with an agenda to minister to someone, God says you might fall in that same sin. My goodness. Go with the pure heart. Can I get amen? You see, my friends, when we're characterized by godliness, those who are unrighteous see the difference between their lives and ours. And not that we are puffing ourselves up. It should cause them to want what we have by faith. They got to see a true conversion. And it's not that we ourselves have been placed on show. No, God raised us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord so that he would receive all the glory. And sometimes saints of God, they feel guilty because they know they're not living right. You know the people that are not living right. You know the ones who are shacking and packing. You guys, we know that who they are. But you got to love them to the cross. Because years ago, you were in that same bed. Well, come on. Listen, all I understand is this. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all equal at the cross. And so we need to be about our Father's business. Look what else it does. Light drives away darkness. Praise God. It drives it away. I remember walking into a shed we had when we lived on Orange Street in National City, 1927 Orange Street. This is where we had there was 11 of us in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home. 1-car garage. And we had a shed in the back. And my dad would come home and says, "You guys are going to clean up this yard. I need some of you to go in that shed and get out, you know, the shovel and the rake and all that." So I remember I was asked to go in there. I remember walking in, and the place was so dark in there. I turned on a light, and all the bugs scattered. Ah! But those things love the darkness. And the light expelled them. It caused them to run. And that's what God's Holy Spirit did for us. The darkness had to run. It had to flee. When the light came in, praise God. You remember when you received the Holy Spirit? You remember that? Oh, come on, you remember? It was a day I'll never forget. It impacted my life forevermore. You see, when people are uncomfortable around us, it might be because they're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And we will bring that type of anointing, not to boast in, but with the mindset, oh God, you've called me to be a light before them. Oh God, save them. You know, underneath your breath, in your mind, should always be, oh God, save them. That's right. Be merciful to them. Oh God, draw them. Give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent, God. If that's your agenda, God's all in. Because that's what he's all about. That's why he saved us. Can I get amen? This could lead to antagonism and even persecution in other countries. And we see that. But I love what was written in the book of John. Look at this right up here. In John 3:19, look at this. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world." This is Jesus now It was written down by John. And men love darkness rather than light. This world that we live in, this society, it loves darkness. You can't even watch commercials no more. They're not wholesome anymore. My goodness. They got commercials now, two men in a tub. They got all these things that are so ungodly that I would have never, what happened to Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best? That's when I was growing up. Those things are no longer wholesome no more. And the darkness is here. It's thick. There's thick darkness around her. Look at this. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Believe it or not, Satan's behind all that right now in this world. Because men and women who have not been illuminated, who have not been saved, they're walking in evil darkness. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be what? Exposed. See, God will do the exposing. Can I get amen? He exposed me to the team when he saved me. I thank God he exposed me. Why? Or I'd be continue walking in darkness. But he who does the truth, what? Comes to the light. That his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. This is what I love about the church of the living God. Even when we fall short, even when we miss the mark, even though we're saved, sanctified, justified, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, we fail God still. Can I get an amen in the house? We still fall short. But here's what I love about this, is that God will convict us then. He won't condemn us. The devil will condemn you. But God convicts us. He convicts us and shows us that is dark. Now turn to me so I can give you more light, greater light for your life. That's what I love about God. He doesn't give up on us. Can I get amen? He already knew what when he saved us, he already knew what he got. Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. You weren't a general in the military. You weren't a vice president in a corporate office, which he can still save that too. I'm not knocking that. But he went through the highways and the byways. He even went all the way into Nasty City to find me. Ask yourself, where were you? Where were you when you found you? Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Oh, come on. Whew, man. We was rolling the best of them. Me, Brother Angel, we got some stories, man. We used to have our lowriders back then. Bumpity, bumpity, beep, bleep, bleep. Yeah. God delivered us from that. Can I get an amen? And then there was some of you that was just rocking out. Huh? Were there some of us doing that? Oh, no. They don't do that. No, come on. They don't do that in Brazil. No. Those are wonderful people over there, right? That's why they shut out the world right now. Their nation's in, pray for them. They're in chaos right now. Pray for them. Wow. So saints, the light, it reveals so many things. But here's the good news. Look at this. Light guides us. Yeah. Aren't you so blessed that you're guided by the light? We're not blinded by the light. You know that old blinded by the light. No, we're guided by the light. God uses us like a lamp to guide the unbelieving world unto the path of truth. But here's what light also does. Light warns. It warns. Without light, we can't see obstacles before us. And this is spiritually true for the lost. We can warn them that they're in danger and needing of a Savior. Praise God. But then this is what else light does. It warns, but then it does this. It warms. Last week, some of you came in so cold in here. We had to warm up the place. Amen. And now I got to take off this coat right now because I'm overwarmed. Listen, we should never be cold and unfeeling and just unfeeling toward those trapped in darkness. No. They need to know we care. Let me ask this question. Do you really care for the lost? I do. I do. I care for the lost. Right now, as we speak, my grandson, Benjamin Boudreau, they all live in Arkansas, and Ella Boudreau, they're going to be with our worship team during the Christmas event. Right now, as we speak, obviously, I couldn't watch their live feed, but they're being baptized. They're professing their faith. Yes. They came into that place that they're surrendering everything to God. You see, it is easier when you are homeschooled because you get a greater faith understanding of biblical principles. We get that. And I tip my hat to my daughter, Sophia. Because all four kids have been raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And they've been praying one by one that they would come into the saving knowledge and the saving faith. And their church is live streaming their baptism and their testimony. And I would love to have been there. And I said, I'll roll it back. You know, and we're going to have a wonderful time when they come in a couple weeks anyways. They don't know what we have in store for them. But we hope it's what God will do with them. Amen. Look at this. In John 9:4, we're coming in for a close. Coming in for a close. He wrote, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So now God has passed the baton to you and I. We are now the light of the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. You and I must pick up the bloodstained banner and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes in. How many believe he's coming for the church soon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. He's coming for us to take us home. And now, Jesus is at the Father's right hand in heaven. And he left his church here for you and I to be that light, to be the salt, to be that ambassador that he has called in each and every one of us. And lastly, the last warning is, just as salt is made useless, like I read earlier, of impurities, so light becomes ineffective and it doesn't shine brightly. How many of you want to be bright lights for God? Amen. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. And so I close with these last questions for us. Number one, if you were the only Christian someone knew, would they see Christ's light in you and want to know Jesus? I shared this earlier. Or do we go home and kick the dog and chew out someone? You see, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. We all have breath. We need to praise the Lord. Amen. Look at this, number two. What kinds of impurities are keeping you from being the salt and light of the world? So what God does, he looks in our heart of hearts, and he shines those areas. He's saying, hey, You may not see that, but I do. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, not us. God said, judge not, lest you be judged. Can I get amen? We're not to judge one another. We are to build each other up, lift them up. Let the Holy Spirit show them that. Can I get amen? Because the Bible's clear. We don't have to go in that area, but the Bible says, you will know them by their fruit. Look at number three. How have you been distracted by the world's values and pursuits? You know, it could be overwhelming. You know, I live in two worlds. And God's been seeing me through both worlds. One is the kingdom of God, serving as a pastor. That's my passion. But the same year I got saved, 33 years ago, was the same year he delivered me from hard labor. And now I'm a realtor. And now a corporate officer, and I own my own corporation. But let me just say this. In that corporate world, only but the grace of God, I have shared my faith, shared my testimony, and not only helped them procure what they want in life with a home and everything, but I also had the privilege to lead them to the cross. That's what living in both worlds can do. Can you be an impact outside of the four walls? And those of you who've been with our ministry for 15 years now, our jacuzzi in our patio is so worn out. But man, I'm telling you, we've had saints go, people come through there getting saved. And it's all to God's glory.
Yes, that's right.
It's about wanting to be used by God. Amen. Will you go that extra mile, that extra length with God to be used by him? Because he wants to use you. Amen. That's right. He's not looking for those that have degrees and stickifits. What I mean by that, certificates. He's looking for ordinary people like you and I. Ordinary, we're ordinary people. And yet he still saved us to be a part of what he's doing in the times and days that we live in. Isn't that a blessing to know that? And so number four, what sins are you tolerating in your life? Give them to God. Listen, when you come up for prayer, if you're battling with things, I don't know. I don't want to know anything about it. You just say, you know what? Pray for me. I'm going through. That's all you need to say. I'm going through. I need help from God. So we pray, God strengthen, God build, God help. We don't need to know any of y'all mess, because guess what? We have junk in the trunk no differently. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? Number five, do the people at work or in the neighborhood know that you're a believer? My next door neighbor. Many times, asked Sister Yolanda, we share the gospel with him. And you know what? Every weekend, they're just in that back patio, bleepity, boop, 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 boop. And we're just back there. You know, we tolerate it. I'll tell you why we tolerate it. Because we once were there. And we get it. I get it. We used to party with the best of them. But we pray for them, oh God. Touch them, Lord. Help them, God. We planted seeds with them, God. Bring it to fruition. We can't condemn them.
That's right.
Knowing what God has delivered us from. And lastly, how is your life different from those around you? Is it different? Has it made an impact? What is it that you need to give to God this morning. I'm going to ask all of us to stand. How many can just honestly say you need prayer? There's something in your life that you could use prayer. Listen, before we ask to the altar and we will pray for you, let the song minister to you and then come up. God, can I get amen? Just give it to the Lord. We don't need to know what it is. Just say, I'm battling. All you got to say, I'm battling, because you guess what? I'm battling with you. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Pastor Fee has battles. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Yes, he wants all the glory and all the honor out of your life, because he loves you. He saved us for purpose. There's purpose. We have destiny now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's a path now that we can see far away, and we're walking toward that path that he has placed us on. And it's a good path. It's a wonderful path. A path never want to trade it in for nothing. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Listen, if you're watching right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask family here to pray with me so that we can pray for you, that God would do the miraculous in your life. And so if you Jesus, I don't going in and out. But if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart, your head, and that you would cry out to God and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my to honor you, follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? The worship team is going to go before.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.